Learn more. Sponsored by the Institut International de Lancy. An education for life at IIL.
Today on the show, talking about difficult conversations. I don't know if I should be nervous for today, because I presume I might have to have some of those difficult conversations, and I might have to realise the things that I'm going to find uncomfortable. To guide me through the day, Alison Ox joins us here. Now, Alison is the owner and president of Edit Change Management and Edit Books. She writes books about having these difficult conversations, such as Would I Have Sexted Back in the 80s? We've talked about that one before. Also, the whole Oscar and Zoe series, which looks at the digital world and children growing up in a very different environment. But she's also a teacher, a lecturer, an author, and a consultant on having difficult conversations. She's basically the person to talk to about this. Alison, thanks. Are you going to guide us through? Please just put me at ease here.
Well, I think you're going to be just fine. I'm really not that worried about you, but I might give you a little probe here and there.
I can't wait. Please, come on, test me. This is good. I'm curious about all of the things that you find out about kids when you go into schools and you say, you can ask me anything. I'm curious about the things that they do tell you. But I mean, this must be a little difficult this year. Going into schools is tough. Tell us a little bit about the kind of work that you do now and also pre-COVID.
Well, right now, a lot of my work has gone digital, which has actually been a really great learning experience, because what I found out is that with older teens, you can get a lot more out of them if you're working with them in a type of streaming method where they're chatting with you and they will share all kinds of things that they wouldn't share in person because they know the chat is going just to me. So it's kind of like I'm their secret confidant and they can ask me any kind of questions, and just that, they can ask me anything, and they have a safe space where they can just let it rip and roar and they can say whatever they want to.
So how did you get into this work?
Well, a few years ago, my husband had to move and I needed to quit my job to accompany him. And I was actually rather angry with him. I was like, not again. And I think there are probably many listeners who have probably had this happen to them before. And I was trying to figure out what I should do. And he said, what is it that is missing? What do you see that's missing? And I said, nobody is talking about our digital world and these tough conversations. And he said, you should do it. And so I just started to do it.
So looking at, like you say, the digital world, that does need to be addressed. And that's a really difficult one, because I guess what our parents might have had conversations with us about sex and where babies come from, etc. But the digital world did not apply then. So we can't really learn from the experiences or the mistakes maybe that our parents might have made with us. This is something new for generations growing up now.
Well, actually, I think you have just hit on something really important. I think for parents now, it's extremely difficult, because normally we parent like we saw our parents parent. Mm-hmm. And we look to our elders, and we have no elders to look to for advice.
Or we learn from the mistakes that they made and how terribly we felt, maybe.
That's true. But a lot of times, even when they made mistakes, we tend on making those same mistakes.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. Mm. But that being said, I mean, we don't have anybody to look to. And there are a lot of things that are happening right now. We're kind of like just testing, and we need to figure out what works and what doesn't work. And I'm there to guide people and to help them and to help them have difficult conversations with their kids, and also set up some rules at home, how we should be interacting with these devices.
We've been talking about these tough conversations, giving examples that they might be kind of to do with sex, or if kids and teens see things in the digital world. What else are we talking about, though, when we say let's set up a nice safe space and environment where people can, the kids and teens can have conversations with us? What other tough conversations are we covering in this?
Well, I mean, you mentioned sexuality and what they see online, but you also have just really difficult family conversations. You might be talking about a divorce, but you might be talking about addiction. You might be talking about mental health issues, depression. I mean, if a parent has a depression, that will definitely affect the child. The child could have a depression. There are all kinds of anorexia. Anxiety is a buzzword right now. Mm. Those are all things that we talk about. And then I would say one of the hot topics between kids and their parents right now is device usage.
device usage. I mean, that doesn't seem like it should be a difficult conversation to address, but I guess it's just all full of tension.
It's full of tension because it's full of shame on both sides and guilt.
Ooh.
And actually, I would say that the children always say, my parents are worse than I am. How dare they tell me what to do?
Oh, parents are being called out.
They are.
Oh, no. Okay, so today what we want to do for this show is give people a bit of a toolkit of how we can address these conversations. So how do we, first of all, open up a dialogue? How do we make sure that kids feel like they can come to the adults in their lives?
I think first and foremost, it starts with connection and making sure that you understand this can't be a one-time, right, we're going to sit down and have a cup of tea and talk. That is like probably the definitely no-no zone. You want to be able to just constantly be talking to them about what you see in the newspaper and what you're experiencing, and have it be lots and lots of little conversations that are continuous. And setting that up is the adult's job. And making them feel safe by showing that they too make mistakes, that they share with them, and they show them how they solve their problems.
Why do you think that kids don't naturally just think, oh, just going to talk to mom and dad about this?
Of course, they are totally terrified that they're going to get in trouble. They think mom and dad is going to take my device away. They are going to maybe feel guilty. They maybe think that they've done something wrong themselves. I mean, just talk about inappropriate content. If they stumble on a pop-up, and we've all had these little pop-ups show up online where it says click on this, and you click on it and it opens to something that you didn't want to see.
Weren't expecting.
Yes, definitely not expecting. And the kids think, oh, I've done this wrong. I'm the bad person. And so then they don't go to their parents because they think they're going to get in trouble. And they also don't want their parents to make a mountain out of a molehill. So they just saw something inappropriate that happens. And they don't want their parents to, you know, just freak out. And they're like, oh my gosh, they're going to freak out. So no, I'm not going to tell them.
There are some pretty clear reasons. What we're going to talk about throughout this show now is looking at how we rectify that and how we make sure that this is a space for open dialogue and the kids feel like they can come to the parents and the adults in their lives.
Learn more. Sponsored by the Institut International de Lancy, an education for life at IIL.
Today on Learn More, looking at having difficult conversations with kids and teens. Alison Ox is the pro here because I don't want to have those difficult conversations. I'm terrified of it. So Alison is here to guide us because she has these difficult conversations all the time. She talks to kids at the moment, mostly digitally, and says, you can ask me anything. Alison, explain to me the difference in different ages, though. Surely the younger kids, are they more likely to go to their parents? Is there a certain age whereby, as a teenager, you might think, oh, no, it's uncool, I'm going to talk to my friends, but that you might be more likely to talk to your parents if you're younger? Is that the case?
Yeah, for sure. So younger children feel much more comfortable going to their parents and asking them all kinds of random questions, especially if they have a really great relationship with them. They are worried, though, however, online, because sometimes they think it's my fault, I did something wrong. So like, let's say a younger child will stumble on something like porn online, they will probably not go to their parents and tell them because they will have thought that they did something wrong. If they're just curious about something, however, they will. So when it comes to online content, I find that there is not a difference between the two. But when it comes to just having conversations and curiosity, yes, they will. But the older kids actually are like, my parents are clueless. They will definitely think that.
So where do the older kids tend to go? Do they go to Google or do they go to their friends?
They go to Google and their friends. And it's literally the two. And, you know, that is something that can be somewhat problematic. And they think that they really do think their parents are quite often clueless. I ask them that sometimes to rate their parents in a group. And we're at about 90% thinking mom and dad don't know anything about our world.
So let's talk about these things that they might see online. I use TikTok every now and then. I've got Instagram. I don't tend to see that much scary stuff. So why are kids seeing that much scary stuff?
Well, one is they're targeted. On Instagram, for example, there's something called porn bots, which are not really bots, but they are people most of the time who are targeting children, and they send them messages. DMs are called direct messages on Instagram, and they send them these DMs. And it's something like, I'm over 18, I have sexy underpants, want to see them. And it's a link to then porn. And most children who are like age, unfortunately, you're not supposed to be on Instagram until you're 13, but children are on Instagram much younger. And most kids who have Instagram report to me that they do receive these DMs. And
what?
They also, yeah, and they don't tell their parents.
They are targeted. Why are they targeting kids specifically? I mean, are they, because they're impressionable, because they don't want to, they are more likely to click on these things?
Exactly that. They're likely to click on it, and they actually get paid money for clicks.
I see. Okay, let's discuss how you can make sure that your kids feel like they can talk to you. What should be the right response if someone comes to you and says, hey, I've just clicked on something, and I think I saw some porn. I don't think I'm supposed to see that.
Well, first and foremost, you need to, like, not slam the computer shut and say, like, oh, gross, or, like, run out of the room crying, oh, my gosh, you just saw that. I mean, that's not the solution. You have to stay extremely calm and say, oh, wow, I'm sorry you saw that. This is not for your age. Let me fix this so it doesn't pop up on your computer again. And you really want to reassure them you are there to get it away from their computer and help them with them. Actually, the children do not want to see this, so they're glad. And if you remain calm and set that up at a young age, as they grow older, they will feel they can come to you. If you immediately say, right, you can never go on a computer again, that's not very effective.
They will never come and talk to you again. So, I mean, the kids presumably have got the things that they want to know. We can't really assume to know what they want to know. Right?
Exactly. We cannot assume that we know everything that they want to know.
So questions are the key.
Yes. Actually, yes.
Asking them questions. What is the worst kind of response that you have had a parent do? I mean, if they really, anyone kind of humiliating their kids or anything? Like,
I think running into the school, actually, and like, actually screaming at the school, like, my child, so an example, a child was introduced to porn on a school bus because another child had their phone up and it was on the phone, and then they saw it, and then they went running into the school screaming at the director and sent an email to all parents about them watching porn on the bus. I mean, that child was humiliated. Mm-hmm. They were like, Mom, why did you do this to me? Now all of the kids are making fun of me. You don't want to do that. So you need to have a little bit of discretion. You need to be very calm. You need to think it through before you react.
Setting up a really safe space to have these conversations, and in private, so they really can ask it. I mean, if kids find that talking to you anonymously is the safest way, and that's when they really open up, then certainly if you're just one-on-one, that must be a more comfortable space for them. Let's talk about how to prepare for a conversation about sexuality with your children. So top tips, first of all, for asking that top question, Mummy, how did that baby get into that lady's tummy? I think we're all scared of that when we know kids.
I think you need to think about it first and foremost before the question even comes. So I would say when you have your first child, you need to sit down and with your partner and say, right, when this comes up, how are we going to tackle it? And culture and religion really play into this, and you need to be clear. But I would, please do not tell them it was a stork. And just, like, don't go there. And the more natural you are and the more basic you are, the easier it is. And kids come with that question sometimes at a really young age. So if you have a four-year-old who sees a pregnant lady and says, Mommy, right, how did that baby get in there? You do not want to go into a full-blown explanation. It is way too much. You give them little nuggets and bites, and you expand on that as they see fit. Mostly if you say, oh, the daddy loved the mommy, and actually the daddy gave love to mommy, and together they made a baby. The kid will probably go, oh, okay.
Oh, wow, that's it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have kids, but I want to be the cool aunt. I want to be the person that my friend's kids come to, so I need to prepare for this. That's really enough for, a four-year-old sometimes?
For a four-year-old, but they might ask, well, how did the daddy give the mommy a seed? And then you answer again, very briefly, just very short, you say, well, the daddy had something called sperm and he gave it to mommy. Okay, what's sperm? Oh, it's something that's, you know, it's a little wiggly thing. Oh, really? And and you just keep it so simple. I mean, I can't even explain to you how little kids want to know. They don't want details. They want the basics. And when they're ready for it, they will continue with their questions.
And I guess the same goes for things like menstrual cycles.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. So if a child, I mean, my children notice tampons in my purse and ask me to explain. And I explained it really simply. I'm like, oh, well, every month I have something that's called my period and I bleed. Why? Because I'm a woman and I make babies in my tummy. And because of that, I have to have my period. And they're like, oh, really? How do you make babies in your tummy? And I said, well, and then I explained that just a little bit. And it just keeps on going like that. And actually, most of the time, they're like, enough. And they walk away.
And thanks very much. I feel like I have the knowledge that I want now. My question has been answered. Good to go. It sounds like you're just answering their questions, letting them come to you, but creating that safe space.
Yes, and sometimes it's good to ask them a question. So, for example, if you're not sure what level they have, let's say they're six, and you're like, what do they mean why they say, well, what do you know about it? Why didn't you explain to me what you think, and then I'll correct you. What have you heard from your friends? And then you start to get a level of, is this what they really want to talk about? How much do they really know?
We'll come back and talk about this more. Alison Ox talking about tough conversations here for Learn More.
Learn More, sponsored by the Institut International de Lancy, an education for life. At IIL.
Talking about how to deal with tough conversations with kids, also teens. Alison Ox is a pro. And we were just talking about having those tougher conversations with kids, with younger kids, answering their questions about sex, which is the one I think everyone's really nervous about, the conversation we're kind of dreading with children. But let's talk about teens. I mean, we were talking earlier about maybe there being an age whereby kids are happy to go to their parents, and then they hit another age, they think, actually, do you know what, I'm just going to talk to my friends about this, or I'm just going to Google it.
Yes, they do. They Google a lot of things, and unfortunately, when they Google things, I mean, I don't want to advise any teen to Google a sexual term and hit video, because that will take them straight to pornography, and that's actually what happens a lot, and that is something that is really quite scary.
We're dealing with them feeling very awkward, though. How is a teenager going to really approach an adult if they want to have a conversation about this?
Well, I actually don't think the teenager should approach the adult. I think the adult needs to make themselves available for the teen. So you need to do that by just setting it up. I think that you need to watch sometimes movies that your teens are watching and like hit pause or tell them, gosh, I watched that last night. I mean, Bridgerton, I mean, goodness, that's, you know, hot and spicy. I felt uncomfortable in a scene. You know, if you wanted to watch that sitting next to me, and you have a conversation about sexuality without actually talking about them. So you can bring pop culture in, talk about sex education, watch it and say, oh, do you agree with Otis? You know, ask them about their world, and then you're opening the dialogue. And then just, I read in the New York Times yesterday, while you're driving them to school, which is perfect because they can't escape and run away from you.
And also they know that there's a time limit as well.
Absolutely.
They're like, okay, we can get into this for 10 minutes, Mum. All right, we'll do this for 10 minutes and then you're going to drop me off and I can run away. So what are typical questions that teenagers want to know?
Well, actually, typical questions that they want to know are sometimes quite horrifying for me at first, because I realized that they've been watching porn, because I would have never known any of these things at this age. They're going into specifics sometimes, and I think that they probably wouldn't ask their parents about specifics, but they want to know the answers to these questions, which is why I think all schools should have professionals coming in and being there for teens to be able to talk to them about this. But I also think they ask things that are really heartwarming, about what does it mean to have a relationship, Alison? Like, what is that?
So not just about the physical side of sex, but actually looking at the emotional side, that it's not being covered off in porn.
No, actually, absolutely not. And actually, I like to say that if you've ever watched The Fast and the Furious, and I ask this to teens, and they'll say yes, and I'll say, is driving anything like that? And they say, no. And I'm like, well, actually, porn is actually nothing like sexuality. So that's some way for it. If you have a teen and you're worried about that, that's a nice way to relate things to them. And there's a lot of emotional that goes into sexuality.
What about talking about, you're learning a lot about yourself as a teenager, I think, including things like you might be questioning your sexuality, LGBTQ issues might crop up. How would you as an adult raise that with your teen?
Well, I think you need to be open-minded in all of your conversations, and part of that is in choosing the right language. I have shifted some of my language in the last years, and now I speak about vulva owners and penis owners when I'm explaining sexuality, because I think that that opens up. I'm open to these dialogues. I'm open to it. I try to give love stories where there are all kinds of different examples, or where I don't even talk about gender. There's somebody who's in love with somebody else, and this happens. Mm. And I think that that gives a lot of freedom. And then they know, oh, this person is open to this, I can reach out to them.
That's nice. There's a rather beautiful story that you can share with us, which might give us a little bit of positivity about what our kids really want to know.
Actually, I was at a school and a group of teen boys approached me, and one of them was, you know, particularly at the forefront. And he said, "Can I ask you a question, Allison?" And I said, "You know, you can ask me anything." And it was really obvious in the session that these boys had been watching porn. And the boy smiled and asked me this strange question. He said, "Do you have a best friend?" And I said, really spontaneously, "Why, yes, I do. And it's my husband. And I trust him with everything. I can tell him anything. I know he always has my back and I always have his." And this boy actually was kind of wild with his group of friends. And they were all standing there looking at me. And the boy put his hands over his heart and went, "Aw," like that. And this is his strong teenage boy. And he went, "I want that."
Oh, that's very sweet.
And then he asked me, "Can we just cuddle? Is like it okay to have a girlfriend and just cuddle with her and like feel loved?" And I was like, "Yes, absolutely. That's where it starts. That's the beginning of a great relationship." And he was like, "Oh, I feel so relieved."
You know what? It's a really relieving story to hear that it's not just terribly technical, all of the things that the kids and teens want to know.
No, they want to know how to be a good boyfriend, a good girlfriend, how to fall in love, how to be happy, how to be cuddled, and that it's okay.
All right, Allison, stick around. We've got another couple of questions to get through, really, again, about making sure that it's a safe space to talk and you make sure that your kids can come to you when they need to. As Allison is saying, it's the adult's job to make sure that that's the case.
The Institut International de Lancy, an education for life at IIL.
Talking about tough conversations with kids. Allison, let's just talk this one through. Okay. Parent goes to teen and says, "Let's talk about sex and sexuality or some difficult family dynamic. Like, let's talk about why someone is no longer living with us anymore." And the kid's like, "All right, calm down. I don't want to talk about it. This is awkward. Leave me alone now. I've got it. Jeez, Mom." What do we do in that situation where you're kind of being pushed away?
I think that when you get pushed away from your kid, you need to listen to them, but tell them, "Hey, look, though, I'm here." Mm. So when it comes to talking about like family separation, I think that they probably do need some space. And it's important if somebody's, for example, getting a divorce, that you tell them on a day where there's a lot of free time, where they can go into their room and think about it and then come back out and you're just available for them. I think when it comes to sexuality, it needs to be gradual and on repeat. And that's actually the same with divorce. And I think that we also forget that we're the ones with the loaded issues. So adults are full of emotions about sexuality and relationships because we've experienced them, and our children might not have yet. So they do not have the baggage that we have. And I think that you just need to keep it natural and honest, and it really depends on your child's age.
Looking at the different things that we could be covering, these are issues that might come up at any point, at any time in anyone's life. Now, last year, there was a very tragic incident. There was a kid that committed suicide and live streamed it. And this was coming up on TikTok, and people were seeing it on Facebook. And that is an issue that presumably parents really needed to address with their kids. I wonder if some parents said, "You can't go on TikTok for days because I don't want you to see this." There was a while before it was taken down. That to me is something that even if your kid pushes you away, should you keep trying? Because that is an urgent situation. That's very urgent. It needs to be discussed ASAP.
I think that if you know that something like that is circulating on TikTok at the time, you should say, I don't want you to go on the app. And by the way, if you happen to see it, I want you to come to me and let's talk it through. So that is the issue where, yes, you can take something away when something like that is tragic, depending on their age. I mean, if it's a 15-year-old, I might not take TikTok away because of it. But I would say, if you see this, I'd really like you to come to me and talk to me about it, because you need to work through these emotions. I like to put it into perspectives. If you're driving down the freeway and you see a car crash, you're going to go home and you might be traumatized by what you saw, and you're going to need to talk about it. It's the same thing for what you see online. And if you put that into that kind of perspective, hey, I'm here to listen to you, let's talk about it, I think your kids will come to you.
So how also do we not pass our own issues onto our children? If we know that certain things are like loaded conversations for us, how do we make sure that we don't make it awkward, actually?
I think that we need to work on our own issues and think about these topics before we address them with our kids. And I think working on ourselves as a parent is something that's really important that some of us forget. And, you know, we might be a divorced or a single parent, or might be in a hetero, not in a heteronormative relationship. And we might have a bad experience, for example, with bullying. And so we freak out more when we hear that our child is suffering because we were bullied. So we need to like take a step back and say, hey, wait a second, is this my issue or is this my child's issue? And talking from a personal experience, I was raised in Utah in a Mormon family, so religious. And I married a very liberal German man. And so we had to sit down and work through how we were going to deal with these conversations. It's kind of funny that a Mormon girl is talking about sexuality.
I now realize you're such a rebel to your parents, right? So I presume that teens do actually want parents to be there, even if they pretend that they don't.
They absolutely do. So I like to say that teenagers treat you quite often like you're an idiot when you're a parent. But actually, I like to say they need to hear the pitter-patter of your footsteps in the house, but they don't want to be with you 24/7, but they need to know you are there for them. And that is so important. And I think that you make a wrong assumption when you think that they don't want to talk to you about their lives or about sexuality, but they might feel awkward about it. So again, it's the adult's job to be there and let them know they can come. I have had teens before say to me, you know, I know, I think, more than you do about this. I'm informed. And I'm just going to talk to my friends about this. And that is when you have to say, wait, right. Have your friends actually, let's say it's a 13-year-old, have your friends actually kissed someone before? And they get stumped and they'll go, no. And I'll say, well, actually, have your friends had sexual intercourse? No. I'm like, right. Well, go ahead and talk to all your emotions with your friends. But when you actually get stumped and have a question, I've done all of these things, so please come to me.
Yeah, that's nice. There's just a constant invitation there.
Actually, yes.
Alison, if people want to find out more, if they would like to read your book as well, Would I Have Sexted in the 80s, where do they go to find out information about you and the collection of books as well, Oscar and Zoe, that you have written about the digital age? Where can they find these?
Well, editcm.com is my website, and you can get all of the information you need there. On Instagram, for Oscar and Zoe, for younger kids, we have an Oscar and Zoe Instagram page. And also, I have an Instagram page, just my name, Alison Ox. You can find me very easily.
Brilliant. And also, if you would like to listen to this again, this whole interview will be up as and available as a podcast on our website, worldradio.ch/learn more. Alison Ox, thanks very much for joining us for the show.
Learn More, sponsored by the Institut International de Lancy, an education for life at IIL.